Cassini friends, welcome in. You're listening to Jawa Chatter. New episodes drop every Thursday morning, and today we are talking about the Andor official trailer that dropped very recently. With me are my co-hosts, Claudia.
Hi, friends.
And Nerdy, who's having a little bit of something over there.
Yeah, he's like a vintner over here.
On the bouquet. It's quite nice. I like to sip Chianti when I have liver.
What? I don't know what's happening.
Do you not know what that's a reference to?
No.
No.
Oh, in The Silence of the Lambs. Hannibal Lecter. His line is that he ate his liver with fava beans and a nice Chianti. And as I'm having a fine Rufino Chianti tonight, not a sponsor of the pod, but Rufino, if you want to sponsor the pod, what will be sponsored by liquor, we are shameless.
Shameless. Also big fans of Chianti.
Yeah, okay. Chianti, it's a good wine. It's 2 days old, too. It's been open 2 days, and it still tastes excellent.
Really?
And yeah, I know. It's a shocker. But the humidity in Canada is nice right now, and I think that that's keeping it alive a little bit longer. So I'm going to finish this bottle tonight, and I'm a little toasty, so I know that I'm usually the chaotic one on this podcast.
But even more so.
We'll continue that. We'll continue the chaotic one on this podcast. As we talk about the Andor trailer.
On brand.
Because we got a surprise this week. We got a little trailer announcing that we are getting Andor, just not when we thought.
I was selfish. I was selfishly mildly upset when I woke up and didn't realize, because why would I think a trailer would drop at 6:30 a.m. my time? I don't, you know. Mm-hmm, so yeah. I didn't check, and you know, we got our reaction out a little bit slower than we would have liked, because I was like, oh, holy crap, this is happening right now. I was like, okay, we gotta like kick it into gear here, and yeah, and then I love the bomb that they dropped, like, you know what, third into way of the trailer, they're like, oh, by the way. Boop.
This September is the new 21st. But they did say three episodes dropped at the same time, which is huge. Normally it's two max I've ever seen, not three. So they're really trying to hook everybody in and make up for the fact that they're a little late.
Weirdly, it's actually the Amazon Prime model.
Is it?
Amazon Prime drops three episodes day one, or at least that's what they've done for The Boys the last couple seasons.
Mm-hmm.
They drop three episodes day one, and then the other five come out over weekly, right?
Hmm.
And so when I heard three episodes up front, my first thought was like, I get that Amazon's had success with their shows, but really you're just going to like straight up rip their model. But Disney, as a corporation, not afraid to straight up steal from other creators. So, you know, it's fine.
That is true.
I mean, it's a tactic. There's no patent on it. I would also, if I was in the same role, be like, all right, we've done two episodes. We see how that goes. Let's see how three goes. You know, figure out what works best.
Disney Plus is still definitely figuring things out. I think most people don't remember that this is actually a pretty young streaming service, and they really
They're only about two and a half years old, I think.
They really haven't figured it out.
They're all young as far as like...
Except Netflix. They like pissing people off.
Netflix is still a young streaming service, right? Like Netflix's business model shifted over to, I guess the original content's young, right?
The original content is young.
Yeah, as a streaming service that produces content, they're all about the same age. Netflix is just a little bit older. Because for a while, Netflix was literally just like, hey, we'll play the DVD at our house and it'll play on your television, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But you don't have to own seasons of shows anymore. They can just be there. That was so nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, until we lose the rights to keep playing them, you know.
Or until Netflix just cancels everything.
Yeah.
They're like, it got two seasons and a cliffhanger. Why not now?
Absolutely.
To not say how it ends.
They do absolutely love doing that. In fact, sometimes, I mean, honestly, you give them two seasons, it's kind of generous. They'll look at one season sometimes and go, I don't know. Click. You know, it's kind of hit or miss for them very quickly.
To be fair. Half of the Netflix shows I watch season one of, when they cancel them, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. The last two Netflix shows I watched, both of them, one and done's for sure. Neither of them have been officially canceled yet, but they will be. They're both very bad.
You know,
one of them is Resident Evil.
Yeah, I saw your thumbnail for that, and I was like, oh, that doesn't surprise me. I don't know what. Anyways, that's. You know what's
People
not going to
talk about.
Andor. You know what's not going to be canceled though after one season. It's going to be Andor because it already has season two approved. So that's a
and
thing.
Only season two.
But so what we do have though is the trailer. We obviously have the show 3 weeks late, and we got a lot from the trailer though. In fact, I think this trailer painted so much. Like, it really filled in a lot of the gaps that we're kind of sitting here wondering. And one of the biggest things I like to call out, just because, like, I was very, very excited about it, I'm sure Nerdy was, and Nerdy and Clovis were as well, was the, you know, Saw Gerrera reveal.
Spoilers.
That was huge.
Yes.
That was...
I geeked when that happened.
Yeah, Claudia had, like, a legit, like, freak out moment.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I'm kind of, like, just shocked that it's Forest Whitaker.
We had this discussion on a previous week, for those that don't know, and Nerdy was convinced that wasn't going to happen, and I was like, it's going to happen.
He's expensive. But somebody commented on
it. He's expensive, but also, it's expensive to get him. It's mm-hmm. expensive to de-age him, to make him look younger than he did in Rogue One. And we've already had Saw Gerrera look so many different ways.
Oh, yeah, so many.
That, like, there was a world where they could have cast someone else. The one problem with that, of course, is that we see Saw Gerrera in Rogue One.
Yep.
And the face model they did use in Rogue One, which takes place 5 years before the first season of Andor, is Forest Whitaker. So it would have been a little weird.
Yep.
But they could have done it. My hesitation with it being Forest Whitaker is that I would like to see Saw in live action in a bit more of an action setting. We
yeah.
kind of saw him, like, wheeling and dealing in the cave in Rogue One. And I want to see, like, on the field, blowing up buildings full of civilians, Saw Gerrera. I know Disney probably won't go that far with the character, but
probably not.
I want to see the, like, full height of this character leading the charge and not being just, you know, what we saw in Rogue One, which was a really interesting end for the character, where he's this kind of almost hermit character surrounded by his band, but is pulled back a little bit because he literally, like, can barely move. He right. and Darth Vader are almost two sides of this struggle at that point in terms of how many limbs they've lost. But
wow. And he seems very broken mentally as well by the end of Rogue yeah. One. Like, he seems very paranoid. I mean, he's paranoid of, like, everyone.
Yeah.
He really is. Like, he accepts no truths. And, you know, even when, you know, Jen shows up, he thinks, are you here to kill me too? Like, so that'll be interesting to see, like, how much are we going to get, I wonder, of that character? Or is that really more of just a hook? You know what I mean? Because the 3-episode thing, you know, obviously there's some merit to that with Amazon Prime. Not saying that's, like, the universal thing, but there is something to that of give the audience 3, you know, multiple episodes to kind of really hook them in for a bit, and then that way go weekly from there. And I think that's not a bad call to do with Andor, especially since no Jedi, et cetera, you know. But I think, I don't know, it'll be interesting. But really, how much Forest Whitaker is really going to be in this show? Because that gets pricey.
I mean, if yeah. you're looking at the scale of this, though, just cinematically, it looked like a movie when we were seeing, like, things going above.
It did.
They were filming in Scotland. I read up on that. Like,
the scale of
it's
it.
Just insane. It yeah. felt like a movie for, like, the way that they filmed this, even more so than, you know, Mandalorian or something like that. So the scale of it all, looking at, like, you know, the Senate room, that was really cool seeing a glimpse
really cool.
of that. Because, you know, the last time we saw it was with, it was Palpatine and Yoda, right? When they were fighting
yeah.
there.
That
was
well,
the
I mean,
final
last time,
time
we really see Revenge of the Sith, we never encounter it in the original trilogy. They just talk about it in passing because
it doesn't exist anymore,
they've dissolved
right?
it. They yeah. dissolved it. It's one of the first things they say about it. So, yeah, this will be the more...
And seeing, you know, a modernized version of that was really cool.
I really loved, just before we move off the Senate room,
yeah.
The you know, we usually see it from the perspective of someone in the seats.
Yeah.
Or the whatever the pods or whatever you want to call mm-hmm. them.
Yeah.
But the down angle that they showed the Senate
yeah.
floor from
that, was a really
that allowed
cool
us
shot.
To see the way that they had engraved the Imperial logo
yeah.
In the room. So the Senate is literally turning around the gear that makes up the Imperial logo. It was just such a beautiful design choice for the change in the Senate between the prequel era, where it's sort of just this sheen floor that opens and closes. It's just mm-hmm. an elevator.
Yep.
And it has become now this visual, this giant visual symbol of the Imperial logo that all of these planets are now turning around.
Yep.
And I thought in terms of just telling a very quick story about change in the galaxy between the prequels to this trailer, in such a quick glimpse of a look at the floor pattern changing between two moments in one room, I thought that was just one of those design choices that you see in Star Wars that you only really get in stories and IPs like Star Wars, where they tell these generational stories across multiple medias. Because, you know, it's hard to tell that, have that kind of a detail matter so much in, like, a single book, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, this is a change to a set piece from 22 years ago.
It's iconic.
It has more weight now, right? Because you're looking at it and you're going, oh, look at what Palpatine changed. Look at how he left his stamp there physically, as well as, you know, emotionally and spiritually on these people. And Clarice and I, our reaction on our channel got... We got put into like the compilations of YouTube reactors that happen sometimes. Mm-hmm. Not sometimes, they always happen, but sometimes we're in them. It's flattering when they tag us. But someone made a trailer reaction compilation called The Simps of Star Wars React to Andor. And he's trying to be like mean to all of us. And it's like me and Clarice, the real rejects, John Roca's in it. And it's so funny because it's this compilation of all these people just being joyful, like just enjoying this moment.
God, and you pieces like, of shit.
These people are all wrong. And I'm like, we're all happy and you're miserable. Like, maybe look at that. Look at the fact that, like, we're having a great time and you're mad at Kathleen Kennedy. Sure. It's so funny that the people who make this kind of content online tell on themselves that they're just upset, right? Because it has nothing to do with the content. They're just mad that I'm having a good time with it, and I'm not going to stop having a good time with it because it makes them mad.
Yeah,
I'm great. But the Senate floor moment is one of them. That they're like, look at how all of these people got excited by this shot of the Senate. And I'm like, yeah, of course. Look at the shot of the Senate. It's massive. It's beautiful. And there's this giant detail that's changed. It has fundamentally changed the galaxy just in this one shot. And I think that, like, make fun of me for liking that all you want, but thematic resonance and good set design, those things matter to me. And this trailer had it in spades. And this shot is just like the tip of the iceberg on what is an incredible experience.
I think there's going to be a lot of visual storytelling. I mean, even the first shot we got in the trailer, if she's looking up, she gets the shadow over her face and you see her look up at Star Destroyer.
That was cool.
That was in itself. I was like kind of confused what was happening. And then I saw it and I was like, oh, wow. Like just seeing that change meant even more because, yes, there is a darkness over the galaxy, quite literally. And again, seeing the scale, seeing, you know, I think what is Cassian's home planet that was like blown up and kind of has scrap metal because he was, you know, attacked or his home world was attacked. Seeing that change, like, you know, how he became a spy, I'm guessing is like his origin story as well. Even in the teaser trailer, we kind of saw somebody that looked like his dad and we see him as a kid a little bit. So I'm guessing we're going to see what changed for him with the Empire as well. So I'm very excited for those elements.
And with
well,
this,
and what's interesting, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, just before we moved on, the Star Destroyer moment, I love that you mentioned that, but also to like add on top of that, I think what was really interesting about that and kind of plays in what Nuri's talking about with the Senate change floor was actually also right before you see the Star Destroyer, you see what looks like more of a remote planet, a more remote civilization, right? You only see like a few people. It's not some big city planet at first. So I feel like that imagery is like that Star Destroyer going over is like the Empire's everywhere. Like they have taken over everything, every corner of the galaxy. And so I thought, yeah, that imagery and telling that with just that shot was incredible. So sorry, Nerdy, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think that gets the his backstory, right? Cassian Andor's backstory. Mm-hmm. I think that gets into why we're getting three episodes up front.
Yeah.
Because the rumor is that, not the rumor, I'm pretty sure it's like literally from an interview, but Cassian is not about it at the start of the show. He's not about the rebellion. He's disillusioned, doesn't want to join, right? And the beginning of the show is him getting pulled into that. I think we see that in this trailer, particularly in Stellan Skarsgård's character's monologue, his very excellent monologue.
Yep.
And it's just so funny. Every time I see him right now, I think about him running naked around Stonehenge from Thor 2, yep. The Dark World.
Because
we just watched that before Ragnar or Love and Thunder.
Yep.
But I think that there is going to be a slow start to the show in terms of our main character involving himself in the like active motion of the show. And I think that the first two episodes, when I saw three episodes up front, I was like, oh, it's going to take three episodes for Cassian Andor to do anything.
Yeah.
And that is fine in a 12 episode season.
Right? Exactly.
But I think that Disney is trying to respond to the fact that the viewing habits of the average person have changed over the course of the pandemic, over the course of Disney Plus's Disney Plusification of how television looks.
Mm-hmm.
And the expectation will be for a show that moves a little bit faster And we're not going to get that. I think we're going to get a very methodical procedural television program.
Slow burn. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a mystery. There's going to be elements of espionage and mystery and thrills. But the way you build tension to get real thrills is slowly. If you build tension quickly, when it snaps, it's not worth anything.
It's not as satisfying.
If you build it slowly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's just my thinking. I think that it's going to be like WandaVision, where if you watch the first episode of WandaVision by itself, you're like,
Weird 100%.
It took me like 3 or 4 episodes to get into that.
Agreed.
Channel.
But you drop the first 2 episodes together because episode 2 kind of, you're like, oh, okay, I understand what's going on.
Yeah.
But if you don't watch episode 2 and episode 1 on the same day, episode 1 is like, why?
Yeah.
Why did you make this?
Yep.
It makes sense as a whole, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that Andor is going to have that quality. I think the first episode and the second episode, particularly because they have to introduce so many things whatever's going on with Mon Mothma, whatever's going on with Cassian Andor, and then the like 17 new Imperial villains that we meet in this trailer.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to be a slow start, and those 3 episodes are going to be like a movie introduction to the world of Andor.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that. I think that definitely played into their decision making, especially with, you know, Kenobi. A lot of people, you know, Nerdy mentioned it, how it was more shot like a movie, or the episodic play out was more like a movie. And also that was a slow burn. And I really enjoyed that. But, you know, as a 6 episode, you know, series, that's and you only drop 1 episode, or actually technically they drop 2. But with a 12 episode, like 3 episodes, I think it will take 1 or 2 episodes for him to get into the rebellion. Because you're right, Nerdy. Like, listen to that dialogue between them. It sounds like he's trying to convince him. I bet his reasoning is like, I've been doing this alone for so long. I don't need your help. Like, I'm going to do this myself. I don't need help, and I don't trust you. I don't trust anybody. So yeah, I think you're right. And then, you know, eventually, obviously, he's by episode 2 or 3, will, you know, probably be well into it, and that'll be interesting. But I'm speaking on Mon Mothma. That is another part that I'm very interested in seeing, because her dialogue as well, I was like, oh, this is going to be some really good political espionage shit. I am looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to see Mon Mothma, like a Mon Mothma character that does a lot, at least more than like, you know, a couple lines.
Did it throw you guys off that she's talking to that guy in that scene and he looks so much like Chancellor Valorum?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he does.
It really boggled me. I was like, is that Valorum? Is Valorum alive?
I never looked up
what
happened to him.
It's a weird moment. It's not him, according to Star Wars Explained. That's where whenever I have those moments, I go to Star Wars Explained and I go, Alex and Molly, answer my questions 3, please.
I feel like they're like your Star Wars 8-ball. Like, is it that? Possibly. No, come back later.
They don't have a video on it. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
No, it felt very intentional that he looked like Valorum, but I don't quite understand why.
His dress robes even kind of resembled the color scheme that Valorum has. Valorum has like this bluish, grayish, purplish thing going on in episode 1. So yeah, that's a good point. I wonder if that was intentional or just somehow pure huge coincidence.
Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, so what else was like the biggest moments we saw from here? We've mentioned a few of them. I mean, overall, like the scale you mentioned, Claudia, like there was a shot where it looks like there was a kid, which could have been Cassian, right? As
I think
a kid.
It is Cassian.
Where he overlooks like this planet that looks like it's probably being stripped and mined or something for its resources. Like he looks out and just kind of remind me of Jedi Fallen Order. There's a scene there, kind of not quite the same, right? But like at the dump, like there's a back scene where you kind of see like the scale of the area. Kind of like that, but even bigger. And I thought that was really interesting because this looks like it's going to be just a huge, huge undertaking.
It was interesting to see the mine workers there. And there was dialogue in the background. It was like, you know, there's little pockets forming and you see like a group of the miner workers. And it reminded me of, you know, where we started Jedi Fallen Order in that same exact spot. Yeah. It made me think of that quite a bit. So seeing that and seeing, you know, the birth of rebellion, which again, like you were talking about, Nerdy, is not something that happens immediately. This is a place that's been stifled and again has absolute power. But like Cassian said in his monologue, you know, they're overconfident at this point. That's why I can slip between the ranks and, you know, start this rebellion. And, you know, we're tired of losing, so we're going to work amongst them. So I'm really looking forward to this series a lot.
Yeah. That trailer honestly really sold it for me. Not that I wasn't like excited, right? But I think that trailer got me so hyped for it. The only win taken out of my sales was like, cool, I get to see it. Oh, wait, nope, that's September 21st.
Here's the thing, though. Like, if you're only into Star Wars, if that's, like, the thing you're waiting for, I get that. But if you are a general nerd like myself, it's in the name.
What's in a name? A Nerdy Nightly.
I do this all the time, but I introduce myself as nerdy a lot of the time, especially when people are related to this. And there's just always that moment where they're like, what did you just say?
The gears are working. Yeah,
nerdy. I'm nerdy. You know, that's what people call me. I don't know what to tell you. Like, but the August is just, it's busy. It's really busy.
No. The fact it delayed for content creators is great.
Oh yeah. Like even us, like I was, although like, oh, I wanted to see this. I was kind of like, you know what? This kind of works out better in some ways.
I think trying to premiere on 2 days before the launch of the first like live action Lord of the Rings content in how long ago was The Hobbit? Like a decade?
That was a long time ago.
I just think not wanting to premiere the same week as Rings of Power is really smart.
Yeah.
Especially because House of the Dragon will have just premiered. They'll have She-Hulk going. It's a busy like end of the month here. And I just think that getting out of the way of that, because like it's not like these episodes aren't done. If the episodes weren't finished or something, if there was cause for concern, it wouldn't be a 3 week move.
Right.
This is very clearly not a like, we need to fix something move. Yeah. This is a strategic. Moving for strategy reasons.
Mm-hmm.
We do not want to cripple She-Hulk the way Obi-Wan Kenobi just like obliterated Miss Marvel.
I think that plays a huge factor into this. That was a lesson learned.
And so I'm not worried about this. I'm a little worried about Bad Batch, and I'm worried how they're going to play those two off of each other.
I was going to bring that up next, actually, but continue.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about this. This is a strategic move for, I'm assuming, a variety of business reasons.
For sure.
And look, if it is, hey, there's this one VFX shot that doesn't look good, we want to fix it before the premiere. I'm going to eat good as a nerd between now and September 21st. You know what I mean? I'm
no
fine.
Kidding.
I got plenty of stuff to do.
There's a lot going on.
I got
on.
A few cons to go to. I got to figure out what I'm getting my wife for her birthday. Like, I'm busy, Disney. Don't worry about it. I'll be there September 21st. I'm very excited.
No, I'm with you on that. The trailer just got me so hyped. I didn't mean it literally, though. But like, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. There's so much going on. But let's talk about, let's steer away just a little bit from the trailer. We can come back to it at the end if there's anything we forgot about. But Bad Batch, that was my second thought. After I got hyped and the date movement and everything, my next thought actually after I was done was Bad Batch. Because it's supposed to, at least right now, supposed to release on September 28th. At least that's what, according to their website. And I guess. Go ahead.
That's going to move.
That's what I think. I think this is going to move
right now.
I think this is going to move. I don't think it like they're definitely going to overlap. Right. Like, I think they learn from She-Hulk. I'm not She-Hulk. Sorry. Miss Marvel and, you know, Obi-Wan. I think they learn from that. I think they're going to try to do a less of the Marvel Star Wars overlap. But I think, as Nerdy has mentioned, you know, animation isn't quite as important to them in the Star Wars universe. They still, you know, it's still important, but like, I think they're going to let Star Wars shows overlap in terms of live action and animation. But a week after Andor premieres, I don't know about that. I don't see that happening, but I could be wrong. But yeah, I think it's going to get moved too.
Just going to be a different day.
Yeah.
It's got to be a different day.
It can't be the same day
of the week. No, I am curious.
I really wish it was Saturday mornings.
Like Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh my God, I would love
Saturday morning cartoons on Disney Plus. Like, I wish
I would love that.
I don't know if kids watch cartoons on Saturday. Like, I don't know. When I was a kid, though, like, Saturday morning cartoons was literally the best.
My dad would make cinnamon rolls.
Good cartoons, right?
My parents would occasionally bring home Krispy Kreme. Oh,
it was Street Sharks, Gargoyles.
Gargoyles,
No.
Power Rangers and Transformers was like the four back to back for me every Saturday morning.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and it was good times. Granted, are all of those things the same show? Kind of. But I loved it. I was so happy every Saturday morning. And I don't know. I feel like if they wanted to brand the animation episodes that they're putting out in a different way, I would do like a, hey, it's Saturday morning cartoons on Disney Plus, or or find like it's after school, the Disney Plus after school special, or find a way to drop that that isn't like, hey, it drops at midnight on Wednesday with every other adult, more adult skewing. Obviously, all these shows are kid friendly, but more adult skewing show where, you know, if Andor and Bad Batch are dropped at the same time, no one's going to watch Bad Batch right away.
That's what I'm worried about. And I think Bad Batch is great. Like the first season was awesome. The second season, we've seen the trailer and I'm very excited for it. I don't really want it to just be like, I'm super excited for Andor. I just don't want to see the season two of Bad Batch just be completely forgotten about. So I definitely like, what day do they move it to though? I wonder, like you mentioned, like Saturday morning would be really cool. Do I actually think they're going to do that? I don't know, but they're not going to put it on. You can't leave it on Wednesday.
Apparently now Thursday is going to be Marvel Day.
Yeah, now Thursday's going to be
Thursday.
Exactly.
You can't put it on Monday because there's two Bachelorettes this season and nobody's going to be watching Bad Batch.
Okay.
They need to see what happens with the two Bachelorettes.
Exactly. That's my thought. No, it's not. But so what does that leave us really? Like Tuesday, maybe?
How small do you think the Venn diagram is?
Oh, very small.
The overlap between the Bachelorettes fans and Bad Batch fans?
Very small. Very, like, I need a microscope. Very small.
I mean, there might be some boyfriends because I know people do like brackets for the Bachelorette and Bachelor. Mm-hmm. That's how boyfriends have gotten involved.
Wait, brackets? Hold on. Wait, yeah. I'm sorry. Brackets?
Yeah, people do brackets and like you win some, like they put like 20 bucks in the jar and whoever wins at the end of it, you have like viewing parties and you do a bracket to see who wins.
Jeffers, there are full on Las Vegas odds when they announce the full cast of characters on how long into the season those people make it.
Guys.
And people bet on what episode people get kicked out.
Guys.
I actually didn't know that was in Vegas, but that doesn't surprise me.
Okay, Vegas aside, because this is probably illegal. Vegas aside, well, all we need, guys, is like an in at one of the people that works on that show, because those things are not 100% predetermined, but there are so many of those people on that show that are like, yeah, you're not actually going to make it to the next week. We just need to make some household money with some of these people. We just need it. We just need an in.
Wait. Let's stop for 1 second. Jeffers, are you implying that you want to try and commit fraud?
Yes.
Betting on the Bachelorette?
No. I didn't say go to Vegas or anything.
My name is Nerdy Knightley, aka David Webb. If this is the American government watching this podcast right now, I would like to formally say that I do not cheat at gambling and I'm not involved in anything involving Just Jeffers Games or whatever his actual name is. I am a clean good boy who does not do bad illegal things like Jeffers does. Mommy, no.
I see. When Nerdy makes a joke, it's all good. When Jeffers does, it's too
much.
I'm
not joking. I have not committed fraud, and I will not commit fraud betting on The Bachelor.
That is the stupidest way to go to cushy prison.
At least it's cushy prison. Anyways.
Yeah, but the problem is when anyone in prison finds out what you're in for, bad day.
Yeah, for sure. Very bad
day. That's not a good day for you.
No.
Just Jeffers Games. Just Jeffers Games. Very bad day in federal prison. Like that book. It's not about federal
prison.
Your
nickname is going to be like The Bachelorette for the rest of
your
life. Oh, 100%.
You're outlive that nickname.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's still better than some nicknames.
Yeah. I mean, there are some prison podcasts. There's one out of...
is it really?
Yeah. There's one out of Folsom Prison with like some kind of hardcore people.
Wait, no. My question to that is like, how are they allowed to have that much like equipment and setup and everything else?
Like prisons have like... the internet. Like,
well, yeah, I understand that, but like that's a bit more than
like
the internet.
We're not by the warden and stuff like that, but yeah, no, that's like a real thing.
All right, interesting.
So
can you imagine editing that podcast?
It's called a rebrand. Oh, exactly. Yeah, my God.
Like there, you know that there's some guy who's like, hey, Jeffers, Jimmy said something on the podcast today. I need you to take it out. He incriminated himself. you leave that in the podcast. I'm going to give you the old poke with the sock full of soap. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't know why my prison guy is a 1920s
I don't either.
Gangster who doesn't understand that you can't really poke someone with a sock full of soap.
Yeah, I didn't get that reference either. But
he's got some mixed signals. But you know what? That podcast is going to go out good this week. You hear me? Jimmy's not going to incriminate himself.
So we're talking about Andor?
So is there anything you want to circle back to about Andor? Obviously, Bad Batch, we don't know what's going to happen. We'll keep an eye on it. I definitely think we'll hear something hopefully soon-ish. Though that said, we're still waiting for a Mandalorian season 3 official trailer launch, and that still hasn't happened. So I don't know.
It's not going to happen until after Andor premieres.
That's probably true.
We won't get it until probably September.
People they don't want to split focus.
People just keep watching leaks on repeat. Okay, so yeah, Andor. I mean, there's
things we didn't bring up that I'm very excited about.
Go for it.
Sorry to jump in on you here.
No,
we did skip over some stuff. Fiona Shaw, Aunt Petunia herself, has crossed over from Wizards to Space Wizards and has joined Star Wars. Very excited to see who she is. I think she might be Cassian's mom. Because the trailer makes it look like she's in a scene with B2 Emo, the new droid that is a Cassian's family droid from his family's company. So I would love to see Fiona Shaw play Cassian's mom. Mm-hmm. Although I would like for his it might just be trailer editing, so I don't know that she actually plays his mom. She might just be like a friend of the family or something.
Yeah.
I would like for his whole family to be Mexican. I think it would make sense for them to kind of lean into that. They've done such a beautiful job of letting him keep his his heritage and his accent on screen, which I know that visibility of the accent meant a lot to a lot of Latino people. So although his parents actually would have died, right? Probably
that's,
in the Clone Wars. She might be like the woman who raised him after his parents died. But.
Well, that was going to be my question. Like, it seems like Cassian is, it feels like either he A, is already orphaned in this, or B, do we see the way his family dies in the beginning?
Yeah,
I think so.
I think that's what's going to happen. I think we're actually going to see how this transitions when he's a kid. Because it seems to be a lot of scenes of what I assume is him as a kid.
Yeah,
right?
When he's like climbing.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things we talked about in our trailer reaction was when he was like climbing down that tunnel. It reminded me a lot of Rogue One and some of the shots that we saw of them, you know, climbing the tower to grab the plans as well. Seeing those similarities, like, you know, you can see the same art style. And it does make me excited to see such a modern version in a show for Andor compared to Rogue One as well.
Yeah, it's definitely purposeful that this, obviously because it's stemmed from Rogue One, but it's very purposeful that like a lot of the shots and stuff like remind you of Rogue One. Like they're definitely leaning into that. There's definitely a very passionate fan base from that film, and they're definitely leaning into all of that.
Yeah, I think the other thing we didn't really talk about was B2 Emo himself, our new droid.
Such a quick shot, but he's very cute.
He's very cute. The one thing I will say is he does not look like he gets around very quickly. So I don't think we're going to get like BB-8 levels of rolling around quickly, getting in and out of scrapes. Nor do I think that it looks like he has leg cannons. So I don't think he will fly like R2-D2 does.
Briefly.
But I'm curious to see how he enters the story.
He actually reminds me of the droid from Knights of the Old Republic a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I forget that droid's name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what it reminds me of.
Though. That has like the circle head. This is the square. It's the square version. It's like
the
square version. Yeah. It's like the square version of it's like if you put R2-D2 in like a little compactor.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. And you got flattened out. We didn't really talk about Forest Whitaker's hair. Excellent. He kind of looks like, I don't know how flattering this is, but he kind of looks like Doc Brown from Back to the Future.
That's what I was thinking. He looks like a mad scientist in it. He does. It looks like a Star Wars version of a mad scientist.
Yeah.
That's a man whose hair is always in a helmet.
I'm just curious, like, how unhinged he's going to be, because this is 5 years before Rogue One, correct?
Yeah,
but 5 years after Fallen Order, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, that's a good question, and obviously he's being recruited. But, you know, obviously between now and Rogue One, the Rebellion and him already part ways in that 5 year span because he's more extreme even than them. So that's kind of going to be, I think we might see some of that, though I don't think in season one, but hell, what do I know? I didn't think we'd see him until season two. So maybe, but I think that'll be because we're going to see year jumps in a few episodes each next season. So I think we might see more of that rift.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be
they have to cover it, right?
Like,
if you don't cover the rift here, why put Saw on the show?
Right, but for season one,
to show that like there's the rebellion, there's the rebellion line, there's the Cassian Andor line, and there's the Saw Gerrera line,
which is the extremist,
right?
Yeah.
And I think
he's the yang of the rebellion, and then Mon Mothma's the yin, and then We've got our boy Cassian in the middle. Yeah. He's getting tugged in both directions, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I think that'll be interesting because we'll actually see it like everyone's on the same side to start, obviously, because they're building the rebellion. And it's like, you know, but then at some point the rift comes because, you know, he wants to do things his way, which is, you know, kill everything and everybody.
Yeah, because he's an extremist at the end of the day.
But I think you guys are right, because I think it's also going to tug on emotionally, though, too, because I think season one, we are going to maybe see like an involved Saw Gerrera. And then, you know, towards the end of maybe season two, there's a furthering rift between, you know, our beloved characters and him, because obviously him and Cassian Andor are not really like on a lot of speaking terms or anything by the time Rogue One. But he knows him. He knows of him. So
another question for you both. Do you think that Bail Organa is going to show up?
Ooh. Smith.
You think
at
he is?
At some point, yeah.
Yeah.
If not in season one, he definitely will in season two.
Yeah, I think it'll be...
Because him and Mon Mothma are such big focal points of the rebellion as well.
Right. I think he'll have he had a pretty decent sized role for Obi-Wan Kenobi. So I don't think we'll have too much of Jimmy Smits, but I do think we'll see him. Yeah. I don't know when he'll show up, but yeah, you're right. He's a big part of it.
Do you think we get Vivian? Oh, no, wait. This is 5 years before Rogue One, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 5 years before Rogue One.
No, so this is 10 years after Fallen Order.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So this is 5 years after Obi-Wan. Oh my God. Yeah. The timeline of this is getting.
Oh, it
so
is. No, it really is. Especially when you're in the moment talking like about it.
The question is, do we see Leia?
And that's yeah.
Is because Vivian Lee Bear, right? That's her name.
I think so.
Will she have aged up enough through puberty to look 5 or 6 years older for season two of Andor, or do we get another Leia actress? Those Stranger Things kids, they sprouted like weeds.
They did.
They went from being like toddlers to tiaras so fast.
Yeah.
And I knew Claudia would laugh at that. so I don't know, like, because she is Leia to me now, right? She is the living
same. Yep.
She's so good in that show.
It depends, though, because we're having year jump every few episodes in season two. So, like, that depends. If we're talking early season two, I think it could be her. If we're talking later season two, where she's getting closer to the age she would be in Rogue One, I think no. I think there's no way. But it just depends.
I feel like episode one, she's, like, in the background waving.
Yes. Yeah.
Still with an empty blaster. I would love if season two of Andor is secretly the story of Leia getting a blaster in her holster. You know what I mean? Like, the first couple of times, her mom's like, no blaster. But then, like, by episode five, her mom's dead because the planet's been blown up. So.
Okay. Well, that got sad.
Bam, bam, bam.
I love you, Brea. You're a fantastic queen.
All right. You have anything else, Claudia?
No, I think we touched on all the things I want to talk about.
Cool. There it is.
We're not done, you guys.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm here for it.
We talked about one side of the trailer.
What's the other
we
side?
We've neglected our new crop of Imperial officers.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, there's so many.
I know, but come on.
I don't know any of their names.
The lady who dyes her hair to be the same color as her uniform.
Oh my gosh.
I need to know her. She cracked me up. Her hair is so white. And
her uniform is so clean and white, too.
Yeah. But
I was reading something that they're death troopers is what they're called. So it's like an elite force or something.
The black helmet ones are death troopers.
Yeah, those are reminiscent of Rogue One because we see them in like the beginning.
Orson Krennic has
exactly. He always has them with him. So yeah, those are reminiscent
of that. In the original EU, the death troopers were literally zombies. They're not zombies anymore.
Oh, legends.
I do like the way in which Rogue One took their speeches muffled and it's turned into like.
Yeah,
so it does. They don't sound human, which is a really nice touch from Rogue One. But we got some really cool Imperials. We got a lot of white dudes in the traditional Imperial garb. But importantly, we got what looks like a new sort of like head of the Senate guy.
Is that the slicked back hair guy?
Yep.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And we also got this white haired lady who scares me, but in a way where I'm like. Into it?
I also was like, are you a fish or are you a thief? I was like, that is such a weird sentence to say.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that full scene of how we got fish or thief.
Well, the context, yeah.
Yeah, I want to hear the context for that. Yeah, it gave us a lot of people that are going to do a lot of bad things that are we're going to probably hate quite a bit. They did set that up for a lot. I think we're going to see, so we saw a lot of those commanders, right? I wonder how many are going to be alive at the end of season one. I think a lot of them will be cannon fodder for a reason. I think there'll only be a couple that are actually going to be there at the end.
Yeah, and I have a feeling Cassian's the one who gets them. You know what I mean?
He referenced
them with the old sock and soap.
Yeah, sock and the soap. Didn't take them out of the podcast. We've got to, you know, take care of them. But yeah, I think, you know, he referenced a lot of bad things he's done for the Rebel Alliance over the years. And but I think he obviously did some bad things probably all on his own, too, before there even was the Rebel Alliance. So this will be interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of villains in this, but all nameless. I'm also very curious. One more character, the woman who is Fish or Thief.
The one that has the red hood.
Well, no, those are two different people. There's the red hood.
No, that's Jason Todd.
The Batman reference. And then there's also the woman that had, same woman, she has a face paint on it at some point as well. She's got clean face paint. And then also the woman in the red that is, talking about, you know, some serious anarchy shit, which I liked. So
there's there's a carnival episode. And so it's Cassian Andor goes to the fair. And so the face paint is more decorative. It's more fun. It's a fun scene. They have some like 16-year-old girl who's on an internship from high school doing the face painting because she drew well in class one time.
Oh my god!
And now she's like the designated face painter at the
carnival. That's 100% a thing.
Speaking of estheticians, do you think that we see Stellan Skarsgård get his haircut on camera? Because the variety of locks in this trailer cracked me up.
So I guess my from the context of that is that's him still playing the. Fat and happy, like, I'm all about the Empire. He's, like, playing a role because, like, he's having that dialogue of, like, I'm just so sick of doing this. I want to kill them so bad. And then I guess that's when he chops off his hair. But, yeah, will we see it on screen? That's a good question.
I don't know. Are we going to see, like, a Edward Scissorhand where he's, like, cutting his hair and then just...
Dark. Why?
What? Plus.
No. No.
Fair point.
Bad, Claudia. Bad.
Do you think it's a wig and that like when he's in the Senate, he's wearing a wig and then he like takes it off and he's like, the facial ID won't recognize me now because I took my wig off.
Like a Clark Kent type thing.
He took after the founding fathers of America and was like, yes, I have to go to Senate. I'm going to have to put on these long curls that aren't even my hair.
Or just the Clark Kent thing of like, I'm Superman.
I have to blend my lace. I need 2 minutes. I need to blend my lace in. A question that occurred to me while we were watching the trailer without you guys was there's going to be a lot of Senate scenes, a lot of political scenes, right?
Yeah, there is.
Politics scenes usually lead to clapping. And so, Claudia, as our resident hater of clapping, how do you feel about having to watch a show with as much clapping as we're about to?
I don't care about actually other people clapping. I hate clapping myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sensation. It's not the sound.
Okay. But you don't have like an ick for people where you're like, oh, I feel bad that those people had to clap.
No,
like that.
No, okay. It's just like a sensory thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Like corduroy for me.
Really? Corduroy.
Yeah, I can't do corduroy.
See, it's the sensory thing for me. It's the I just don't like it.
All right.
I'm so glad we got that really important question out of the way.
It was super important.
You know what? It's the best moment of this podcast so far. So we'll keep referencing the podcast.
Wow.
It is the only funny thing that has happened on this show ever.
Wow, that is not true.
No, it's not the only funny thing. But it is genuinely, if you have not caught the moment where we all realized that Claudia said that she hated clapping, go watch that podcast. Don't watch this one. This one was way worse than that one.
You are the worst salesperson for this.
I'm telling them to go click on another video.
That's true. That's true. I don't even remember which episode it is. I don't even remember which episode it is. I wish I could reference it, but I don't.
It was a Clone Wars one, but
that doesn't narrow it down.
Yeah, because Clarice was on it. Yeah.
But
yeah, no, go watch that. It is
because we were laughing so hard we were crying.
Oh no! Oh, we were complete. Like the last like 5 minutes of it is us literally just laughing over and over again, like Nerdy re-asking the question, basically laughing more.
You wanted to end the podcast. You were like, "No, we have to."
I was trying so hard.
We're in the middle of the best moment of the podcast.
We just got dropped a bomb. This is the only time I've ever heard this, and then you had to know
clapping. It was so good. She changed her Twitter handle, Jeffrey.
That's true. That's
anyway,
true.
Andor's going to be great.
Andor's
when we see it.
Andor's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait.
I'd consider clapping for it, but I won't.
Yeah, cheers. All right, everybody.
That's Unhinged. If you're at home and you clap at the end of Disney Plus shows that you watch on your own couch, I don't want to hang out with you.
It's you're probably the person who makes that me claps. Nervous.
Is that all it takes?
When the plane lands.
No.
Same energy.
No. Here's the thing. If you clap when the plane ends, when the plane lands.
Are you about to defend that?
You're clapping for a person who is literally able to hear you and is like 20 feet away. If you are clapping at the end of a Disney Plus program from the couch of your own house, no one can hear it. Look, if you want to congratulate the pilot for landing the plane because you didn't die, that's fantastic. I've clapped for a pilot exactly once in my life. And it was because he landed the plane in a rainstorm. There was thunder. It was really bad. We had to land like 4 times. People threw up. A woman had to be carried off the plane. It was like the worst landing of my life.
I can't wait to fly next month.
Because we were finally on the ground.
That's acceptable, yep. But there are people that clap for when a plane lands because there's been no issues with nothing like
no
that.
No turbulence,
ever.
Nothing.
They're just clap.
Here's the thing. A lot of people make fun of that now, and I think that this is a totally separate thing for the podcast, but we're 45 minutes in. If people are still watching, it's because they like us. It's not because they're here for Star Wars. If you are the kind of person who has a lot of flying anxiety and you get on the ground and you need a physical way of releasing that anxiety and you can't move the rest of your body because you are literally strapped to the seat, and clapping helps you get that anxiety out and it helps you and you feel like you're congratulating the pilot, I'm never going to make fun of you for that. Clap for the pilot. I genuinely literally hurts nobody and I do not give a shit.
Well, nerdy,
you clap.
What if
in your own goddamn apartment because you watched an episode of Disney Plus? I will never spend time with you. That is unhinged. If you clapped at the end of every episode of Miss Marvel, it was great, but like, why? Who are you clapping for? Yourself? Are you applauding your dog? Your dog doesn't know what clapping is, Sharon.
Sharon?
Huh. Yeah, Sharon is Karen.
If I clap at the end of a Disney Plus episode now, are you going to tell him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Oh, please do. That will be the
I
end
hate
of
home
podcast.
Clapping.
You know? That would be the end of this podcast.
I will never appear on Disney, on Jawa Chatter. What is our podcast called? Jawa Chatter.
Wow.
I will never Utini with you ever again.
That Utini hurts my heart.
You can go Utini yourself, Jeffers.
I mean, I already Utini myself, but it's fine.
And a random sidebar, so Jeffers
funny.
And I.
How do you feel about that?
See about him clapping.
About
if
him
he claps at home,
himself.
Do you even know what Utini means?
It means high.
Actually,
yeah,
means
it's like
low.
it's like an exclaim of like surprise.
What if it's like aloha, where it means hello and goodbye?
It doesn't.
It could.
What were you about to say? You're
I was
about
like, Jeffers
question.
And I had a fun activity where we went to go see a burlesque show. Did.
No, we're not. We're going to talk about this another week.
Oh, yeah?
Because now has a podcast where I thought we were going to have Andor soon. We have nothing between now and September 21st as a Star Wars podcast. So like we have.
So what fun activity did you and Jeffers do after going to see a burlesque show?
No, we saw a Star Wars themed burlesque show. Local to
and
San
then
Francisco.
What was your fun activity?
That's not what she said. All right, we're wrapping up the podcast. If anyone's got anything else other than nerdy to say, so Claudia, if you have anything to say, let me know. Otherwise,
don't be a home clapper.
One other person here.
That was the point.
Anyone except nerdy has anything to add.
That's the joke, nerdy. That's the joke.
I want to be at the wedding where the officiant is like, if anyone would like to. Object to this wedding, except for the bride's ex who was invited for some reason. Please speak now or forever.
Oh God, I'd be on the floor laughing because I wish somebody would say that. That'd be so funny.
I went to Max's wedding. It was great.
Interesting.
Yeah, she yelled at me. She got upset because I said better you than me after the wedding. When they were like saying hi to everyone, I was like, I like shook her hand. I was like, oh, congratulations. You look really happy. And then him, I was like, better than you than me, bud. And he and I laughed about it. And I don't think she liked that he and I had a like chuckle. I don't think she was like, oh, no, you two can't be friends.
That's incredible.
Cool. Yeah.
That's so good.
I thought you were saying it to her, like getting married.
Yeah,
in general,
I thought you were saying it to her.
Like,
but no,
though.
You saying it to him is much better and much
probably
funnier.
Married.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm really good at it.
All right. So that's the end of the podcast, friends. Thanks so much for watching. We're listening. We're going to go. You can find Nerdy at Nerdy Nightly everywhere.
Yeah, I'll be sober next week, or maybe I won't.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Claudia,
I
apparently.
Will allegedly be sober.
I hate clapping 7.
Claudia, that's so funny. Nerdy, wait, that needs to be. Claudia, the Star Wars newbie, and Nerdy, who is allegedly sober.
All right, well, that'll be the intro for next week.
Why is the outro of our show the most fun part of our show?
I have fun throughout the whole thing. I don't know what you're talking about.
You hurt Jeffers' feelings.
I didn't say
it hurt my feelings. Fun. It takes a lot more than that.
I didn't say it was like bad until this point. I said it's the most fun. It's like how...
But why? It actually plays into the name I'm going to give you next week. I think you're drinking a little bit more throughout the episode, and then about an hour in, you haven't really checked the glass, and you are just... Both of you are unhinged.
Like, we're not sniffing it anymore. It's just glug, glug, glug.
Yeah, and you two are just playing off of it. Like, I don't know.
I've had a glass and a half of wine, okay? I'm sober. I'm just... It's so hot.
Oh, is it?
Wait. Before we go. I'm going to plug a video that's coming out on the Nerdy Nightly
in
a couple
weeks.
Yeah, go for
it.
Where I did a hot sauce video for Game of Thrones, because they did this like 5-year anniversary of Game of Thrones hot sauce edition.
Really?
I bought it at Winners because nobody bought it. So it was on sale. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, I'll make a video. But it's so hot right now. It's like summer. And my only Game of Thrones apparel was a Game of Thrones sweatshirt. So I threw on
my
Game
God.
Of Thrones sweatshirt.
No.
I was watching the footage back. I haven't edited it yet. But I was watching the footage back, and I am so sweaty. It's so funny. I'm just like mopping at myself.
Oh my god.
Oh, it's the hot sauce wasn't good, but the video I think is gonna be really funny. So check that out over at youtube.com/nerdynightly, where we are gonna be doing reactions to every episode of Sandman starting on Friday. So come check that out.
Yeah, and if you wanna catch any other content that's not Star Wars as well, you can check out Nerdy Nightly. You can also check out Just Jeffers. Claude and I are on there, and we are very close to 1,000 on YouTube. Woo-hoo! Subscribers. So
you,
did you hit 10,000 yet, Nerdy?
Yeah, they hit 10,000 a while ago.
Yeah, we're at we're at like 10,000.
Come on, Claudia.
Something else.
Try to keep up.
Heck yes.
You can find Claudia at I Hate Clapping 7, a reference to a previous episode of this podcast that you should go listen to or watch immediately after this one.
It'll be an inside joke, so you'll be in on it.
Yes. Yeah. And all right, everybody. Thanks so much for watching or listening. We'll see you next week. Houtini friends, may the force be with you, or Nerdy in this case, may that fly be with him, I guess.
I think that it's aggressive.
Grab your chopsticks, play Karate Kid, and just catch it in the air.
Bye, everybody.
What?